Number three of our three-hour briefing we conduct each and every afternoon right here on Salem Radio Central Florida, broadcasting from our studios here in Tampa, Florida this afternoon. I'm excited because in a moment I'm going to be recommending a book that I really think that ought to be part of your library, and one that I've had an enjoyment reading, although I'm not finished yet. Did a lot of reading over the Mother's Day weekend while we were taking a couple of days out at the beach over in the Gulf of America. But we're going to get to that book interview in just a moment. The name of the book is The Coming Millennial Kingdom, What Life Will Be Like for Us When Jesus Reigns on Earth. Nathan E. Jones will be my guest in just a moment. But first, I want to remind you that as we are conducting the brief this afternoon and talking about a wonderful educational book for you, I want to remind you we are in the midst of our campaign of saving babies here in Florida. And with our pre-born network of pregnancy care centers in Florida, reminding you that I need your help this afternoon and right now. We do this four times a year here at Salem. We always give back to our community and to our state. And right now, for $28, you can provide an ultrasound session for a teenager or maybe a woman who find themselves with an unplanned pregnancy. And as we have successfully taken care of the legislative side here in Florida with our abortion ban of any babies here in Florida who have a detectable heartbeat, it's time for us to equally be active on the other side. And for $28, you can provide an ultrasound so that we know that 80% of the women that choose life after they see their ultrasound. So we've had a lot of $140 gifts for five ultrasounds. We've had a $500 leadership gift. We've had a $1,000 leadership gift. So how about you? What keeps you from giving your gift this afternoon? It's very easy to do. By the time we wrap up, we're going to do 386 ultrasounds as a minimum target all throughout Central Florida. So right now, while we're doing a briefing on this book that I'm highly recommending, I want you to call the pre-born telephone number. Operators are standing by, 833-850-2229, 833-850-2229. You can also give at letstalkfaith.com, letstalkfaith.com. Click on the banner for preborn. Well, as I said, I have come across a remarkable brand new book that I'm highly recommending to you, especially if you're trying to figure out where are we at today with the whole world is in constant conflict. And we know that one day Jesus is returning, and we know that we're going to be involved as Christ followers in his millennial kingdom right here on earth. But sometimes it's kind of hard to put all that together. Well, I want to tell you that Nathan E. Jones has done a great job doing that. But first, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Dr. Nathan Jones serves as the Director of Internal Outreach and Evangelist at Lamb and Lion Ministries. He reaches out to billions, that's with a B, billions of people accessible over the internet with the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, he graduated from Corinne University, which is a bachelor's degree. He also studied at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. You know, we had Dr. Moeller on a couple of days ago, excited about his education there, and received his Master's of Management at Liberty University, another one of my favorites. He earned his Doctorate of Religious Studies in Evangelistic Apologetics at Trinity Theological Seminary, and he's authored and contributed to numerous books, including The Mighty Angels of Revelation, 12 Faith Journeys of the Minor Prophets, and this one, The Coming Millennial Kingdom. And with that, Dr. Jones, good to have you on the program this afternoon.
Well, greetings in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope, Bill. Boy, I love the Tampa area. My grandparents used to live in Port Ridge, and as a kid, I visited that area often.
Well, that was a wise choice on behalf of your grandparents to live in the free state of Florida, and we want to invite you down anytime you're in the neighborhood, okay?
I'd love that. Thank you.
All righty. Well, you know, in your release, I want to refer to this, get our conversation going. This year, there are 37 countries at war. I think that number may surprise people. On every major continent except Australia, in the last 3,500 years of human existence, 92% of the time there's been armed conflict. While mankind, we always talk about peace. The president's talking about peace, peace, peace right now as he's jetting off to the Middle East. It has been enslaved since Cain murdered Abel. And every one of the eight mighty empires since the beginning of time became an absolute total failure, either in the past or currently. And with that, as I said, I think I'm about halfway through the book. But talk a little bit about the kingdoms that are the human kingdoms. We know that Jesus is still king. He's still in ultimate control. But under the rulership of Satan, you know, man doesn't do a pretty good job of running governments, does he?
He does not, no. I mean, God ordained human government. And so we look at the great empires all the way back to the Akkadian, the Persian, the Mongol, the Roman, the Ottoman, the British, Soviet, and USA are considered the eight greatest empires that changed history. But, you know, Bill, they're all failures. They've all failed because they have failed at the primary reason that governments exist, that at some level they need to achieve their primary purpose, which is true security and justice for its people. You know, especially with DOGE out there, we know the corruption at every single level. And, Bill, it reminds me of Micah 7:3. The prince asks for gifts, the judge seeks a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desire, and so they scheme together. And so what mankind's left with is called the problem of evil as it relates to failed human government. How do we, as Christians, maintain our faith when God-ordained human government has been such a failure? And for those who don't believe in the Lord, who are unbelievers, when they make a God out of government, then their faith fails every time government fails. So we're in quite a predicament here.
Now, to me, governments are sort of like what we see on a lot of police cars, to serve and protect. And unfortunately, though, it seems like various opportunities down through thousands of years with a good, you know, PR platform. But obviously, since we are all part of a fallen nature and that we all deal with pride and selfishness and power and control, governments just don't seem to work out because somebody's always trying to do something in a corrupt way. Before we dig a little bit deeper, I want to commend you because, folks, you know, when you start dealing with the millennial kingdom, you start dealing with Daniel, Isaiah, the other prophets, because all the prophets point to Christ, and then Christ points to what's going to be happening as he comes to redeem us first, and then he's going to come back as a mighty conquering king of a Jesus we are probably not very familiar with as much as we are as the Jesus the Lamb. I want to commend you because the way you've written the book, I don't know how long it took you to research this with you and your assistants, but every time you introduce a concept, instead of me just going to the bibliography, you actually put the appropriate verses in the Old and New Testament right there in parentheses of the statement. And you do it over and over and over again. And I just want to commend you because it's so helpful if you're really wanting to put together your understanding, because you give us a guidebook right on the spot. That was pretty intentional, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, praise the Lord, Bill. Obviously, you can't learn about the millennial kingdom from any book but the Bible. And so I wanted people to know what verses that were every point that I make about the millennial kingdom is directly from the Bible and where they can find the verses. Now, it made reading the audiobook a little challenging. I had to quote all those verses. But for the most part, I want people to know that this is what the Lord wants us to know. And that's the key here, Bill, is that people think of Bible prophecy as antichrist and tribulation and doom and destruction. Well, that's only a tiny little percentage. That's a seven-year tribulation. But what follows is Jesus' victory. And as children of the Lord, it's our victory as well. And the Lord wants us to know that his kingdom will come. Matter of fact, he gave that message to, of all kings, King Nebuchadnezzar, in a giant dream of a statue that represented human government, the times of the Gentiles, that statue was destroyed by a stone, which he said was not cut out by human hands, that came careening out of the sky and destroyed that statue and filled the earth, and it became the Messiah's kingdom, the kingdom of Christ. So this flawed, failed human government that we all suffer under will one day be replaced by the kingdom of Christ, and the Bible says it will last forever. So there's great joy, great hope in knowing God's victory, and Bible prophecy provides us with that news.
Now, we know that there's going to come a day where Jesus will come again. I happen to believe that all of us who are Christ followers will be raptured out first, and then there'll be 7 years of a tribulation, and then Jesus will come and just speak the word with all of us with him in the air. And then there's a little bit of an interlude, and then we begin the millennial reign here on earth. Now, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up real quickly on just why is there a little bit of an interlude and what's happening in the math for those of you who follow the math of the scripture and a lot of you that are into prophecy. We'll quickly touch on that, but then we'll get into what's happening when Jesus reigns right here on earth. And by the way, an earth that looks like it's been wiped out by a meteor. I mean, the scorched earth really comes from a lot of the judgment out of Revelation. We'll have that and more from our author, Dr. Nathan Jones. The book I'm recommending today, The Coming Millennial Kingdom. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Bill Bunkley here. I want to get right back into it. The book that I'm highly recommending this afternoon is The Coming Millennial Kingdom, What Life Will Be Like for Us When Jesus Reigns on Earth. My guest is Dr. Nathan E. Jones, the author of the book. And I want to tell you that many times it might be a little confusing to follow all of the events that are going to be coming and to understand a little bit of the worldview of the failed governments. This is an absolutely excellent read, and whenever we do a book interview, we're only hitting a few highlights, and there's so much more that we're not even going to be able to cover, and so that's why I want you to get your copy of this. And I want to tell you, it's very easy to read, and it's very easy to, while you're dealing with a particular fact of biblical history or a concept, it'll tell you right where to go in the Old Testament and New Testament. And as you build on that assurance on how accurate this is researched, you're going to find out a lot that you didn't know about the millennial kingdom. So I want to bring back in our guests. We got 8 or 9, 10 minutes, whatever it is. And first of all, tell us a little bit, because the idea of where we want to get to in the book is to understand the millennial kingdom. So give us a couple of highlights. What life will be like for us when we, if we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, we've returned to him, we're in the millennial kingdom. Now, there's a little bit of a time out between the end of times and the millennial kingdom. If you could just briefly touch on that, and then give us a couple things to spark our curiosity to get a copy of your book about what we can expect during the millennium.
Oh, absolutely. Well, like you said, we can barely scratch the surface here. So folks go to comingkingdombook.com, and that's where there's a lot more information about the book there. But one of the things that every Christian should be excited about is not once, not twice, but three times in Revelation chapter 22, the Lord promised, I am coming back, I am coming back, I am coming back. That's an ironclad promise because it's tied to a promise made to Jesus Christ in 2 Samuel 7. That the verse says, I will set up your seed after you, and I will establish the throne of his, the Messiah's, kingdom forever. So this is a promise to David that his descendant, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would sit on the Davidic throne, and his kingdom would last forever. So that is the kingdom we're all anticipating. Now, it's tied to a few events that have to happen first. One is that the generation, Jesus says, that sees the Jewish people regathered to the land of Israel is that generation that will see the return of Jesus Christ. Because the return of Christ is dependent on the Jewish people crying out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When the tribulation time period you talked about, that 7 years where God is going to pour out his wrath on the earth through 21 judgments, is meant to bring many people to their knees, repent, and turn to the Lord, and a third of the Jewish people will turn to Jesus Christ and proclaim him Messiah. And like you said, there is a 75-day interlude between the second coming of Christ with his saints, that's us, those who are raptured, and we will get to see Jesus set up his kingdom. He will judge those who survived the tribulation. Those who've accepted him as Savior will go on into his kingdom in their earthly bodies to repopulate it. And those of us who have been raptured in our glorified bodies, we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ.
You know, we are told that there are rewards waiting for us in heaven. And the rewards are when we do all the everyday tasks and opportunities, I should say, to be the hands, the feet, the heart of Jesus Christ until he returns. And so those crowns go to heaven. We'll have an opportunity to appear before the Lord. He will recognize those crowns. And then we read in other places that there will be those of us, those of you who are out there, I guess I should say, who are going to have leadership positions in the new millennium. If people think that we're just going to be sitting around under trees and just chilling out for a million years, could you give us an idea? Because there's going to be a government, just like we have a government today. Israel will probably not look like anything that many of us have been several times a day. The Mount of Olives is going to be split in two when his feet hits the place. He takes over. The earth is just basically scorched in majority of the places because of what we see is going to happen out of Revelation. And it is the rebuilding project of rebuilding project. Talk a little bit about that, and that some of us may be serving in leadership positions as that government rebuilds the world, right?
Absolutely. Jesus will set up this world, and although the world, like you said, would be pretty much destroyed by the tribulation, teetering on the brink of extinction, Jesus Christ, who is the great creator, who made the universe in 6 days, will rebuild the planet. And the planet will become like a garden paradise. The curse will be partially lifted. So food is bountiful. The Lord will solve all the problems that human government can't when it comes to feeding its people. The food will be plentiful. There'll be no homelessness. We in our glorified bodies will serve the Lord and help rebuild the planet. And Jesus Christ, he promised that he will rule and reign from Jerusalem. Zechariah 14:9 says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth." What a promise. And listen to this. If this sounds like current governments today, Isaiah 42, he, the Messiah, will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. I mean, what a difference from today. We know, too, that during this kingdom, it says, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea," Isaiah 11:9. Jerusalem, Jesus says, will be his capital, Zechariah 1:16. And we, the saints, will be the administrative bodies. So we have the perfect king, but we have the purified administrators. And we, according to Daniel 7:18, will possess the kingdom forever and forever and ever. And the government of the whole under heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High, Daniel 7:27. So we have a great future ahead of us. If you're retired now, I know my grandparents were retired when they lived in Newport Richey. Well, they're going to get back to work again in the millennial kingdom, serving the Lord as teachers, administrators. We're not going to make the laws, but we're going to enforce the laws, and we're going to teach those new generations born in their earthly human bodies to know the Lord, and the Jewish people are going to serve as a priestly people, bringing the Gentile nations up to see King Jesus and fellowship with him at the Feast of Tabernacles. Brother, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful 1,000 years, which is the first phase, but then it will go on into eternity.
Now, remember, during that 1,000 years, there'll be people that will be born, physically born again. They'll have to make a decision whether or not to follow Jesus. Now, Satan will be in the pit, but nonetheless, you'll still have some of those holdovers. And so we can't get into today, but it's something that you'll want to explore. And I know the question that is always asked, okay, so Satan's defeated. He gets thrown in the pit. And after a millennium, he's released to come back and go to act number two. In a sentence or two or three, why in the world would the Lord do this? Any kind of an idea? I hate to put you on the spot, but that's the question everybody asks. Why the return?
God wants to fill heaven with people who choose to be with him. The children of the millennial saints will have free will, and so the Lord releases Satan at the very end. They can choose the Lord or they can choose Satan. One of the greatest tragedies in history is yet ahead. Many will join Satan and try to overthrow Jesus, but he'll send fire down and destroy them, and that's the very end of the millennial kingdom, because then it goes on into the eternal state after the great white throne judgment. So a true tragedy lies ahead.
But I tell you what, it's very simple. I grew up on a hymn, trust and obey.
Oh,
but there's
amen.
No other way. Trust and obey, there's no other way. And I always love what Charles Stanley has spoken for years. Obey God and leave the consequences to him. Obey God and leave the circumstances to him. This particular book will help you be at ease. It will give you hope that the minute that you breathe your last breath, you're absent with the body and present with the Lord, and you're going to be in that presence of the Lord, and that you're going to have a front row seat in the skies with him when he comes. And remember that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord in the future, and you're going to have a front row seat of that. And then roll up your sleeves, because in the millennial kingdom, some of you who won't make it to Jerusalem on this side of your life, you might not see it the way it is today, but you're going to be coming home. And once you understand that, by getting your copy of The Coming Millennial Kingdom, What Life Will Be Like for Us When Jesus Reigns on Earth, Dr. Nathan Jones has written that. And I didn't quite catch it. Could you give me that website again, The Coming Kingdom what, that people can plug into right now?
Oh, absolutely. Go to comingkingdombook.com, or you can pre-order on Amazon.
Comingkingdombook.com or pre-order on Amazon. Folks, listen to me. This is a must read, and you're going to be greatly encouraged. And I give it another week or so, and I'll have my copy completed. But with that, we're all out of time. But Dr. Jones, you're a pleasure. Thank you for your expert scholarship and the way you have led us to all of these scriptures. I look forward to your next project, but you've done a great job on this one. Thank you for serving the kingdom in this way, and thank you for being on the show.
Praise the Lord, Bill. Thank you.
God bless you, my friend. More of the Bill Bunkley Show in a moment. Why is Trump doing what he's doing? We'll explore a little bit of that in a moment. I'll be right back.